Hey, how do you think outside the box and do some creative things to make business development take place in the greater New Orleans area? And what do you do to bring back the entertainment sector, bring back the French Quarter? Look, tourism is an important part of what goes on in New Orleans. Without the tourist industry, we'd be in bad, bad shape down here. We all knew that. That was before Katrina. We're going to talk during this segment of the show about what some ideas are out there that could bring back a lot more entertainment, a tourist draw to bring tourists back in here and to make it all work with me. Right now, Roger Wilson. Roger is a well-known person in the New Orleans area. He's run for city council. He's been an actor. He's been a producer. He's done so much, got a pretty innovative idea. Roger, welcome to the new 99.5FM.com. Glad you joined us this morning.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And Roger, you've got a pretty interesting idea, and I know something about the theory behind the idea. Tell our listeners what you want to do. You want to, in effect, make a Broadway South that brings the synergy of entertainment right here to the downtown greater New Orleans area. Tell us your idea and what you're trying to do.
Well, quite simply, what I'm proposing we do as a state is take advantage of the incentives that are already in place, which are the film incentives and the Go Zone incentives, and package those in a way that will attract the producers of big, big, big tier live entertainment, be it theater, opera, ballet, jazz, comedy review, or what we call variety shows, which is everything from Cirque Soleil to Riverdance to the Grammy Awards, and use that to inspire those producers to come here and fill the now dark theaters on Canal Street with this kind of entertainment on a year-round basis. And what that will do, of course, is not just create thousands of jobs getting that up and running, but it will breathe new life into the thousands and thousands of jobs that are in the tourism industry right now that are facing a very uncertain future.
And you referred to, we've already got the system in place. Now, we understand Go Zone. Tax credits apply to any business, whatever it is, in the greater New Orleans area, correct?
What it does is it really turns the math on its head and inspires anyone to come and rebuild in New Orleans. It just gives you rewards for brick-and-mortar rebuilding that aren't available anywhere else in the nation. And so that would be the inspiration for getting private money. We're not asking for government money. That would inspire private money to come down and rebuild not just the theaters on Canal, but the entire sector, which, as you know, has been in trouble long before Katrina.
Now, you also talked about the tax breaks that we give to a movie production, and obviously it's been a huge success. We get a lot of motion pictures made in Louisiana. There's several being made in New Orleans right now, I assume, because I see the big trucks and the gaffs and all the things that go in as I drive around town. And I know something about that. Back in the 70s, the legislature, in its wisdom, created a program to give these tax credits to the film industry, where you'd get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit if you filmed in Louisiana. It's drawn, and I know, here's why I know so much about it, because my father-in-law, a fellow named Ted Solomon, who's kind of the dean of the movie people in the state of Louisiana, the chairman of the Film Commission, actually envisioned that idea and put it into place. So I can tell you, by being in the family, if you will, it was a huge, huge success. You're envisioning the same thing coming in for live entertainment into New Orleans.
That's exactly right. I mean, what the film incentives have proved is, I always say, they don't call it show art, they call it show business. And at the bottom line, you need to give producers, whether it be a film or a theater play or a ballet or a big show, live variety show, you need to give them a financial incentive to come here versus somewhere else. And that's what those tax incentives do. They give them back a pretty substantial part of their production budget for doing business in Louisiana. And it works. The math works. You know, I mean, the film industry was $20 million a year about 6 years ago. Now it's over $600 million. It works, and we're just trying to take advantage of that and write some new legislation this spring that will be presented and passed this spring that will offer those same benefits to the live venues.
We're talking to Roger Wilson here on Jim Brown in the Morning about the idea of giving tax credits to live entertainment coming back into the greater New Orleans area to make it an entertainment zone, if you will. Roger, how does that work? Now, I can understand if a filmmaker gets tax credits, he then can take that film and market it time and time again all over the world. Is there any problem because the production often is either a one-time production or maybe you get a play that comes in here for a week. Is there any difference to how the numbers work? Or, in other words, you come in here for a week, and I guess you have sales taxes. You've got, I don't know what all the taxes you have, but what are the advantages you get? How does all that work?
Well, the content or the shows we're trying to get are shows that normally play Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, San Francisco on their way to Broadway. This is a cottage industry that producers need to try out these shows. So for them, they must have a place to try them out, but the end result is they want to arrive in Broadway in the best shape they can. And if they can have a place to try those shows out and at the same time get back a big portion of their budget to wage war in New York and fight those costs, we've done those producers a great service. And that's the benefit. It's rather than a film being marketed, we are helping producers on their way to marketing these shows in New York, and then again when they go on the road again. We are saving them money at a crucial point in the show's life.
Roger, let me ask you this, though, and let me play the devil's advocate mm-hmm. with you. I was last night, I was with a fellow named Marmigian who owns a Laura Plantation up the river. And he's restored Laura Plantation and done a wonderful job. And all the plantations up there are such a great tourist attraction. But he said that the number of tourists is like only 25% of what it was before Katrina. You just don't have the tourists coming in. So my question to you is there the audience? Let's assume we put the tax credits in place. Is there enough audience in New Orleans? Because if these producers are coming out and trying out their show, they want the tax credit, but they also got to fill up the seats. So is there enough audience here to come in and participate and be encouraging enough to bring shows like that in here?
Well, I think it's one of the, you know, build it and they will come, much like they built the basketball arena here. There was a debate about should we build it, should we not, and we said let's build it. If we get one, we'll get a team, and we did, you know, and hopefully they'll be back full-time next year. I believe when you think about that, there'd be no other part of the southern United States that would offer this quality entertainment, and that we could tie this in with the cruise ships, with the convention groups, with the restaurant associations, with the hotel groups, and they would put their marketing dollars toward it and say, hey, it's not just about coming to New Orleans and having a meal or shopping in the French Quarter. It's now about coming and having a meal, shopping in the French Quarter, and seeing the world's great entertainers live, and touring the Garden District, and going out and walking along the promenade in the river. It becomes a whole package offer, and I think people follow culture. History has taught us that. There's a little town in Branson, Missouri, that basically in the middle of nowhere, and they did what I'm talking about doing, and it's now one of the theater capitals of the Midwest. In the middle of nowhere, they didn't have the food or the music or the history to lure people there. People follow culture, and they will come for the culture if we provide it. And I believe culture is the one thing we have in abundance here, and I believe it is the economic engine which will drive this city's rebirth. I really do. It's what we have that no one else has, quite to the extent we have it.
And you talk about the point of riverboats coming in and so many other things. Let's take a break. I want to keep talking to you about this. Roger Wilson talking about his idea of having a tax-free, not a tax-free zone, but tax incentives to make entertainment come into the greater New Orleans area. Talking about this here on Jim Brown in the Morning. If you've got a question of Roger, you can call us here 260-0995. When the legislature meets this spring, one of their considerations will be whether or not to give tax breaks, give tax credits to live entertainment operating in New Orleans as a way of generating more activity, more entertainment activity in the greater New Orleans area, particularly in the downtown area. What do you think about that idea? Should you lose tax dollars so that can go into this whole development effort? Does that make sense or not? Call me, let me know what you think, 260-0995. That's 260-0995. And I'm talking to Roger Wilson. It was his idea. He ran for the city council last time. His commitment is to try to make this whole downtown area an entertainment zone, and he's getting a lot of support to do so. Like I say, there'll be some legislation in the coming session of the legislature to do that very thing. A number of New Orleans legislators will be pushing that. Roger, have you? What was the story in the paper this past week about your plan being endorsed by several groups here in the city?
Well, in yesterday's paper, Sunday's Times-Picayune, they published the results of the citizens' input on the UNOP, which is the the big plan about how we're going to rebuild our city. And I was just reading it, and I looked at the comments from District 1, the French Quarter CBD Warehouse District, and there it was, point two, that they as a neighborhood have asked that the city help develop a, quote, Broadway South Theater District. And that was just so rewarding for me because I've been out there pumping it for months and months now, and it makes me know that this expression Broadway South has entered the lexicon and it's entered people's minds, and that, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter even, I guess, what legislators think. What really matters is what the people who live here think and the people who are paying taxes think and want to see their neighborhoods rebuilt. And it was really very, very uplifting for me to see that neighborhoods are asking for this as well as myself. So it was great. Just a great, great piece.
And you make a good one. That's wonderful you've had that support. And you mentioned Branson, Missouri. That's, of course, that's a huge national success story where they took, in the middle of nowhere, made such a huge entertainment capital. Let me ask you this. Where do you draw the line? I guess you want to talk about entertainment, but what happened? What do you say to existing musicians or an existing club, let's say? You got a Snug Harbor or so many other clubs mm-hmm. here in the area that have live music or that cater to a tourist-oriented group and they want to build and want to have those same tax credits. Where do you cut off the line? I mean, you can't just let everybody that has a guitar player there on Saturday night to take advantage of it. It could be abused. So right. What are the reasonable parameters, if you will?
Well, you do what the film industry did. They set a minimum that you have to have an X amount of budget to qualify. I think in the film industry it's about $350,000 that you have to have in your budget to earn a tax credit. So I think you set a parameter not quite that high, and you say to the owners of Snug Harbor, they will benefit even if you set a minimum, because what they can do then is offer their venue as a place that a promoter can come in here with a package of performers, and his budget together would reach the minimum. So Snug Harbor can benefit and he can use it. But you don't want – it would be abused if you just had anyone with a guitar playing live on the street. Hey, you get a tax credit. So you have to set a floor is what we call it, and it's what the film business did. If you want to make a movie in Louisiana and get a tax credit, if your budget's $100,000 or $80,000, you're not getting it. I think the budget may be about $200 or $300. I'm not quite sure. So you have to set a floor. And you also set a ceiling in that only so many tax credits, dollars worth, are given away per year. So it's just really meant as a spark. It's meant to get people to be the first to get it. You know, you want people fighting over the ones that are available. So you drive people here to do business. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing, as you know.
And obviously we think of the Broadway show, the traveling Broadway show. We think of opera. New Orleans has a great tradition for opera, so getting the bigger stars and the bigger productions. What other types of entertainment do you see this drawing? Considering when you consider the floor, you've got to have you've got to spend enough money to make a major production. So what other types of entertainment do you
see? Well, I mean, it's limitless, really. You would have any musical, be it a Disney musical or a Phantom, whatever the next Phantom would be from Andrew Lloyd Webber, whatever his one would be, trying it out here on its way to Broadway. You could go to the Grammy Awards and say, hey, we have a great music tradition. It's now going to be almost 30% off your production budget to hold the Grammys in New Orleans. Let's hold them in New Orleans. The Boysha Ballet from Moscow that would come and play maybe Washington and New York in a tour. We can now say, hey, it's 30% off your budget. Come play New Orleans on your way to Washington and New York. We could say to Dave Letterman, come do 3 months live from Canal Street because it's 30% cheaper off your
point.
Budget.
Yeah, a show that may travel anyway
or just Jay lure Leno him here.
Or, yeah, just to lure him here. Ellen DeGeneres, who's from New Orleans,
let's
who does
do
a
her
nationwide show.
Show.
Bring it down here for a month and look at the money you'd save. And who knows, you may want to permanently do something like that.
And, you know, people talk about turning, you know, how come we don't turn New Orleans into the gambling capital? Well, why don't we just turn it into the live performing arts capital and make this where anyone who has a live production, be it on TV that's filmed live or theater or opera or ballet or big jazz concerts or festivals. I mean, look, if this gets going, why wouldn't we have a New Orleans theater festival to rival the New Orleans Jazz Festival?
And before Katrina, you know, I know that Baton Rouge used to be the entertainment kind of center of the state. But over the last 3 or 4 years, more and more were, you know, when the Eagles were coming and the Rolling Stones and all those big name acts, they had then came down to the New Orleans Center and they were coming back to New Orleans. And if you look at the success of the Saints And if you look at so many of the things happening in this city, there's certainly, I agree with you, I think the market is there with the right type of entertainment coming in. So, by the way, I was thinking the other day, if I had one entertainer I wanted to have on my show, and I, you know, with all due respect, I'm happily married, but I love this woman, Sarah Brightman. You know Sarah Brightman? This, when you mentioned the Phantom, you know, she was the original Christina in the Phantom of the Opera. And she sings like an angel, and I got one of her old tapes out the other day, listened to Sarah Brightman. If I have one guest on the show, I don't want the president. I want Sarah Brightman on my show. So if that's my number one guest I'd like to have on my show, she is pretty. She sings like an angel. I love her music. And so and she came to New Orleans. She was here at the New Orleans Center about 3 years ago, and I had the best seat in the house when she was here.
Well, you know, that's a good point. I really believe that the entertainment world is looking beyond film for a way to help our city. Artists love this city, and I believe if we can just give them this lead-in and say, hey, we've made it economically efficient for you to come down here, I believe you will have people like Sarah, and you will have performers from around the world just loving that they can come and do live performances down here. And let's face it, after the show, there's not a better town in the world to enjoy, either whether you're a performer or an audience member, than the city of New Orleans.
And you don't go home after a show here.
No, you don't.
About it. So talking to Roger Wilson about the idea of tax credits that could rejuvenate and bring a lot more entertainment into the greater New Orleans area. Now, Roger, the legislature is going to meet coming up in the fall. There will be a legislation put in, assuming it's successful and the law's on the books. Then I guess the big charge is, and the big effort is, to promote it. And it's going to take some money to do that. Do you think you can get some help from downtown development and the chamber and other groups to actually promote something like this? You've got to let those entertaining outlets know that it's available, and it's a pretty big sell, and it's going to cost some money to do something like that. How do you envision, once the legislation is passed, to actually take it to the next step of carrying on the selling program, the marketing program?
Well, I've already gotten the support, the express support from Mayor Nagin and from the Economic Development Office here. They are going to help cover some of the cost of putting forth the evidence, even pre the vote, that needs to be shown to the legislators so they can see, such as like an economic impact study, just how big this would be. I've met with the people at the Downtown Development District, and they've offered me their endorsement. I've met with the folks at G&O Inc. They've offered their endorsement. I've met with Stephen Perry of the Convention Visitors Bureau and Bill Lankup, the head of the Hotel Visitors Bureau, and they've all offered not just their endorsement, but whatever economic push they can give this once this has passed. So we are going to get help from across the board, because I think everybody sees this as a great way to rebrand and repackage New Orleans to a very wide tourist base.
Like you say, you've got a great idea, but you got to be able to market. And marketing is the key in so many of what you do. And so I think you're on the right track. Well, Roger, we're excited for you, and I think it's a good idea. I completely endorse what you're doing, and we'll talk about it here some more on the new 99.5fm.com on a regular basis. And I hope, as the idea ferments, and once you get towards the legislature and other ideas come forward and more support comes about, you'll come back on the show and give our viewers an update and as we go along forward.
Well, maybe we could get my lead author, Senator Ed Murray, to come in here and talk to you, because he is one of the most eloquent people around in the legislature, and he has some great ideas for it, and he would be great to hear the people here, their own representatives, speak about it.
Look forward to it. Roger Wilson, who's talking about this tax benefit to bringing an entertainment center to New Orleans. Good idea.
Creative idea.
Thinking outside the box. Broadway South. Good luck to you, Roger. We'll talk some more about it. Hey, would you like the state to give you $330,000 for every job you created? In other words, you agree to go out and create some new jobs, and as an incentive, you get $330,000 for each and every job you could create. Pretty good deal, isn't it? That's exactly what the legislature did for a proposed German steel plant coming into St. James Parish. And I know we want new plants to come on in here, but should we be giving that kind of money? Should we be underwriting to the cost of $330,000 a job for all jobs created through this new steel plant? I'd like to know what you think. Is that the role of government? Should government make that kind of financial investment? You can call me here, 260-0995. That's 260-0995, right here at the new 99.5fm.com. Not much was accomplished at this recent legislative session. We've seen the headlines that some say it was a huge disaster, that the governor was defeated in a number of her programs. One program that did pass, by the way, was to give a commitment for up to $1 billion to build a new German steel plant up in St. James Parish. Now, the plant is supposed to create some 2,000 jobs, and, of course, there will be some huge construction undertaking up there if the plant comes about. But the bottom line is it worth it to spend that kind of state money to create new jobs when so many local businesses are just trying to get back on their feet and have no incentive to do so? Where do you draw the line? You know, you've got a business in the French Quarter, you got a business over in Covington, and because of the Katrina damage, you used to have 15 employees, now you're down to 3, but you think under the right circumstances, you might get back up to 10 or 15. Or say you have a bigger business. Say you have a business that maybe has several hundred employees. With the right incentives, you might get up to, and let me give you a prime example. Let's take the Oreck vacuum cleaner situation. Oreck, David Oreck, created this new vacuum cleaner that's been very, very successful. And because of the situation in New Orleans, I don't remember what the incentives were, but he goes to Mississippi. Well, then they just leave. They announce they're leaving Mississippi. 600 jobs will move from over in the Gulf Coast up to Tennessee. What's the reason? Affordable insurance. Well, take 600 jobs times $330,000. Look, we could find some ways to give those folks affordable insurance for a heck of a lot less than $330,000 a job if David Oreck would move those 600 jobs back to New Orleans. What I'm saying is, how much is too much? I'd like to know what you think. 260-0995. That's 260-0995. Should we be paying $330,000 a job to bring in a steel mill to St. James Parish, or should we give more creative loans and grants? There's been calls within the French Quarter to give grants to French Quarter owners. Is that a better way to spend the financial commitment? The legislature, in its wisdom, made an initial commitment of $300 million. For the infrastructure for this German steel plant, and there's going to be a $1 billion commitment. That's what it's going to take. Several states in the running for this steel mill: Arkansas, Louisiana. Alabama was in the game, but and I've monitored some of the correspondence over in Alabama. Here's what Alabama is saying. The state must pay the incentives game because all of them do. This is an internal memo from over in the state of Alabama. But there's a point at which the cost may be too high. Is $333,000 per job a good deal for a plant with unknown environmental costs? It's a lot, that's for sure. If each job pays $60,000 per year, and you figure that the average taxpayer pays about 10% of his gross income in state and local taxes, it would take better than 20 years before the tax revenue, including local taxes, recoup the base outlay by the state. Surely there are multipliers as the money moves through the economy. But there's also new infrastructure costs required by such a facility and the people who work there. Streets, police, fire, sewer, water, schools. We're not making the case either way, merely saying that every business must weigh costs of a project against potential return. And the state should be in no different situation. That's a memo from the state of Alabama. And it looks like Alabama's backed away, saying it's just too much. How much do you pay to buy jobs? So it looks like it's Arkansas and Louisiana still in the mix. The German company was here in Louisiana not too long ago, I think on Friday, trying to make their pitch to have it to look over the situation to see if it made sense. Governor said in the Baton Rouge Morning Advocate last week, if we lose this business deal, the blame will lie squarely in the laps of the legislators. That's if they hadn't passed this commitment. Well, they went ahead and do so. That was one of the very few things they did in this special session, give $300 million as the first payment of a $1 billion commitment, a $1 billion commitment to a German steel mill. As the Alabama commentator said, what are the infrastructure costs? They're going to build the excess roads for the plant, But then if say you come off the interstate I-10, you're going to have to four lane and do a lot of upgrading if you're going to have several thousand people a day going in and out of this plant. That's just the employees. You'll have other support groups. You could have 4,000 or 5,000 cars a day additional on a two-lane road that needs to be upgraded. You could have sewer provisions. Then if people are going to live in that area, you've got to build new schools, and you've got new teachers, and you've got water lines and sewer lines and police and fire. You've got a significant additional costs that go above the $1 billion. So the bottom line is, what do you get in return, and is it all worth it? You think it's worth it? I wish you'd let me know. 260-0995. That's 260-0995 as we weigh the pros and cons of this steel mill going up in up in St. James Parish. And I guess the comparison is, what would happen if you gave $25,000 to $50,000 individual grants for new jobs in the Greater New Orleans area, in the French Quarter, over in Covington, in Belle Chasse? Could you, in effect, get the same numbers dollar-wise in terms of incentives for the state, but not have to build all that or build and carry all those huge infrastructure costs? It's a question of what balances out and how it all works, and I'm not sure what makes sense. I don't know where the numbers are. Look, I'm not an economist. I'm not an actuary. I'm not a numbers guy. But somebody's got to put a pencil to it. It's great to have a new plant come on in. Alabama turned it down. And, you know, Alabama has the big Toyota plant over there that hires about 5,000 people. Mississippi is not in the running. Mississippi had the Nissan plant up above Jackson, hires about 4,000 people. So those people have gone through this procedure, and in their wisdom felt like the cost is just not worth it. We're in the running. Is it worth it? We'll talk about it some more. Hey, you know, this afternoon from 2 to 5, during the Sean Hannity Show, you'll be able to bid on a Nintendo Wii. The new 99.5FM.com's teamed up with Best Buy to make this possible. And all proceeds will benefit Toys for Teens, a division of Toys for Tots. Now, here's how it works. Just call our regular call-in talk line, 260-0995, between 2 and 5, while Sean Hannity's on the air this afternoon. You can also visit our website between 2 and 5 this afternoon to check out the current high bid. Just visit the new 99.5FM.com, and you'll see the current high bid right there on the homepage of our website. A Nintendo Wii would be a great gift, and here's a way to help those who are less fortunate. The bidding starts at 2 o'clock during the Sean Hannity Show here on the new 99.5FM.com. So check that out. Hope you'll bid. It's for a great cause. By the way, I'm sitting home, and I'm coming to the show. The last Friday, I guess it was. My phone rings about 5:15, and it's my kid. It's my son, my 22-year-old son. And I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm in line at Target to get a Nintendo Wii. I've been here since 2 o'clock this morning because they got a few going on sale, and I wanted to give it as a Christmas gift to his nephew that was dying to have one." So he's in line from, I think, 2 o'clock in the morning to 5:30 when he calls me for this Nintendo Wii. So it's a heck of a hot new toy that everybody's talking about. And again, you can bid on it just by calling our number between 2 and 5 today when Sean Hannity comes on, 260-0995, and also go to our website between 2 and 5 this afternoon to check out the current high bid. Just visit the new 99.5FM.com, and you'll see the current high bid right there in our program. But let me tell you, I got some great response, by the way, to our whole effort to get people to fly the flag and honor those who served in Iraq and in Afghanistan and who gave their lives. I got on a rant last week and said I just think it's not right that the legislature and that the governor do not do more to honor those who served us and gave their lives overseas. And we got a number of calls about it and some real good ideas. The governor's office has told me now they are trying to put a program in place to lower the flag on top of the state capitol to half mast for a couple of days after a serviceman or woman is killed over in Iraq or in Afghanistan, somewhere, anywhere around the world. I think it's a good program. I hope they do. They haven't done it yet. I drove by the Capitol yesterday. There's no flag that is lowered, and we had several servicemen killed here in the last week from Louisiana. We've had over 100 Louisiana men and women killed in Iraq, and I thought it was just a small way to show our tribute and our appreciation for what they did. And we got some great ideas from the callers. You out there, call me. And if you got some ideas, wish you'd call me here at 260-0995. I had suggested, one call came in and said, "Hey, we might get the American Legion to donate a flag to the family of those, maybe fly that flag over the state capitol, and then give it as an honor and as a gift to the family that suffered with the loss of a loved one. But then other callers called in and said, well, that's exactly what the military does, that a flag is draped over the coffin for the ceremony, and then that flag is given to the family. Good idea, but apparently that's already done. And so that was one suggestion. Another suggestion that I think is a first-rate idea is to have a special memorial area at the Louisiana State Capitol. You know, the State Capitol, which Huey Long built back in about 1929, I think he began it in 1930, made of this marvelous Italian marble, some of the prettiest marble you'll ever see. That capitol was built in 18 months, I believe. Unbelievable. You couldn't even get the environmental studies done in 18 months today. He put that capitol up in 18 months. So in any event, on that marble, wouldn't it be wonderful to have carved in marble the name of Louisiana citizens that were killed in behalf of their country in the line of duty? And I could see there's so many areas in that capitol, both inside and out, where there are huge marble slabs, and that would be an excellent location to honor those men and women who gave their lives for us. And so that was a great idea to put up, to have those names carved in marble. I'm going to share that. You know, we get so many legislators that come in here live on this program here at the new 99.5FM.com. Everybody that comes in the door is going to get lobbied by all of us here to go ahead and put that in place in the regular session of the legislature, designating a certain part of the Capitol as a memorial for Louisiana servicemen, whether it be in the National Guard or the regular service, in the Army Reserve, whatever it may be, who gave their lives in the line of duty. So that will be a way that we can honor those young men and women. So the idea that we lower the flag on the state capitol, that's what they do in California, by the way. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has taken it upon himself to lower the flag at the state capitol to half-mast anytime any serviceman or woman in California is killed in the line of duty, number one. Number two, he has the family up to the state capitol. He has an honorary award that he gives them. There's a ceremony. You know, it's really well done, and it's very memorable for such an experience to take place. We certainly ought to do the same thing right here in Louisiana. And then the final suggestion is, darn it, just fly the flag. Just get a flag and put it outside your house. After 9/11, it just was amazing in my neighborhood. I mean, every home had a flag out there flying. Everybody was so proud to be an American and so committed to the defense of this country. That was 9/11. And then as each month went by little, the flags came down, and now I think there may be two or three flags. There were two or three flags in the neighborhood. We started this drive last week to get the flags flying again. I know it's the Christmas holidays, but with all your Christmas decorations, it's really great to see the red, white, and blue flying out there. I started last week talking about how my neighbors might be a little reluctant. All of a sudden, I got to tell you, we got 8 or 10 new flags in the neighborhood. So looks like we're making a difference right here in the new 99.5FM.com. And I hope you'll do the same. You know, you can go to a hardware store or to any number of stores and pick up a flag for little or nothing, $5 or $6 with the pole. Put it there outside on your front door or somewhere in your yard to fly that American flag. That's just one more thing that you and I can do as memorial for those who gave their lives for us. And it just accentuates the difficult time in which we're living. We are at war. We hear about it every single day. It's been a major issue in elections. It permeates the national news. And so it's our way of saying whatever comes out, whoever our leadership is, we're united as Americans. Flying that flag will make a tremendous difference. And I would urge you, if you don't have a flag outside your house, get one and put it up. Hey, you may have one stuck back. Most everybody has a flag. Get it out and put it up as part of the Christmas holidays decorations. Then just leave it up. Let's just leave that flag up. That can make a big difference. One more way we can show our respect and honor these young men and women, both who are serving us now and those who've been deceased. So I just pass it on. Hey, you folks are making a difference because your calls have helped out with your suggestions and getting those flags backed up. And I'm sure glad we're all joining in this effort. 10:55, Jeff, where'd the time go? I'm just getting warmed up. Man, I'm in the Christmas spirit. You've been hearing all the good Christmas music we've had on this show. I got most of my Christmas shopping done. I'm in a good ho-ho spirit. If you saw me live right here, I got my Christmas hat on my head, and I'm getting ready for the holidays. And by the way, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here all this week and all next week with you. As you're doing your Christmas shopping, as you're taking all those gifts back next week, I'll be right here on the new 99.5FM.com. So tune in to Jim Brown in the morning. We'll have a lot to talk about here with you. I'll be with you no matter what you're doing in the coming weeks, where you get off to go. And I'm going to make a real quick trip to my mother up in Shreveport for the day almost. So have Christmas dinner, come right on back here, and be with you again on the new 99.5FM.com. And by the way, in the last several minutes we have, I want to tell you again about our website. Because, again, we made this point over this last month we've been on the air. This station is so much more than just a radio station. We're kind of a hybrid. That's why our name says the new 99.5FM.com. I don't know of another radio station in America that has that .com name in its website, rather in its name, because we are so much more. You've got a great website, you got a great radio station, put them together, and it's kind of your all-purpose one-stop shopping, if you will, if you're looking for a place to get your news, get your weather, get all your information. Let me tell you about a few special things we've got on our website. First of all, the Saints lost a tough one. Jeff, did you see the game Saturday? I mean, a tough, tough loss. That final pass, I just thought it was going to be so close we were going to win it, as we have so many times this year. And it was a tough one. And, you know, the defense was tired. They were on the field way too much. We were down. I guess we got the black and gold fever and came down. But still, we're still in the playoffs. We've still won the division championship. We got two more games to go. So if you want more of the black and gold, hey, here's how you do it. If you want to check out what others are saying about the team, we've made it real easy for you. Just go to our website, thenew995fm.com. In the features section of our homepage, click on Guide to Saints Blogs, and you'll find links to 16 different Saints blogs. Our webmaster has even rated them for you. You've got, they're talking about the Saints in China right now. I mean, all over the world, they're talking about the New Orleans Saints. So, again, go to the Guide to Saints blogs, and you'll find links to, again, 16 different Saint blogs. And these links are waiting for you right now in the features section at the new 99.5FN.com. And don't forget what I told you before this afternoon, 2 to 5 during the Sean Hendy Show, you'll be able to bid on Nintendo Wii. Boy, the hot new game. New995FM.com has teamed up with Best Buy to make this possible, and all proceeds will benefit Toys for Teens, which is a division of Toys for Tots. Here's how it works. You just call our regular call-in line number, 260-0995, between 2 and 5 this afternoon. Visit our website between 2 and 5 this afternoon to check out the current high bid. And just visit the new995FM.com, and you'll see the current high bid right there on the homepage of our website. So a Nintendo Wii would be a great gift. And here's a way to help those who are less fortunate. The bidding starts at 2 o'clock during the Sean Hendy Show here in the new 99.5FM.com. So check that out. Again, we've got the local section on our website where you can learn about shopping locally. And I know it's so easy just to pip on that website and order your Christmas gifts, but you've still got, 4 days to go, 5 days to go till Christmas, so go ahead and shop locally. Really urge you to do that, particularly this post-Katrina time, because you can go to so many places and get so many great local gifts, whether it be down the French Quarter, out on Magazine Street in Metairie. Belle Chasse has got some great little gift shops. Covington, downtown Covington, just wonderful little selections up that way. So we'd really urge you to go and shop locally. And again, you'll find some good suggestions on our website at the new995fm.com. I'm going to get off the show, write a blog. I'll have my poll up. Hey, whose fault was it that the special session the legislature didn't do too well? Go and vote. Hit the website, thenew995fm.com. Jim Brown link right in the center, and cast your vote for our poll. And I'll start tomorrow by giving you an update as how those results are going. Listen, folks, had a good show today with 3 hours. I'm glad you spent some time with me, and I look forward to coming back with you tomorrow during this holiday season. I'm trying to put it all in perspective for you, get your input, and try to make some sense out of where we're going here. And I'm looking for a new year. I think that 2007 is going to be a real blessed time for us, an exciting time for us. And I'm looking forward to being with you each day. Jim Brown in the morning on the new 99.5FM.com.